Do not fear the journalists and mobs that serve the sexual revolution. For as in Luther's time, the swine, dunces, and blockheads are again out in force.
Dr. Alan Carlson speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
No doubt Satan happily sneers. Yet be not afraid, for the triune God and his cloud of holy witnesses, including those Christians from nearly 2,000 years ago who faced something very similar, they are there by your side.
You can listen to Dr. Alan Carlson's presentation, Making the Case for the Natural Family, on a recording from this year's Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Oh, I remember when my wife was pregnant with our children. The big question was, because back in those days, you could at some point discern the gender of the child, even during pregnancy. This is a long time ago. The big question was, are you going to want to know? And if you want to know, are you going to tell anybody? And if you, and in those days, you simply didn't tell anybody. You may have learned it. We didn't with either of our children. We kept ourselves in the dark. And then if we had known, we probably would have kept it to ourselves. Well, there's all sorts of combinations on that nowadays. They even have gender reveal parties. Maybe you've seen some of those on social media. The Atlantic has published two columns that are warning us about gender reveal parties. Why so? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Glenn Stanton joins us. We're going to be talking with him about these Atlantic columns on gender reveal parties. He's director of family formation studies for Focus on the Family and author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Atlantic, Gender Reveal Parties Kill People, Yes, Kill People. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
What in the world is a gender reveal party?
Well, that's a good question, and first I would answer it by saying sometimes they can be very sweet, very wonderful experiences. Sometimes they can be just crazy over the top and nutty, but what it is where a couple who is pregnant, somebody will secretly find out the sex of their child that is yet to be born. And they will bake like a cake that has a blue or pink inside, or, you know, pop balloons that have confetti of either pink or blue. And that is how the father and the mother and everybody else learns for the first time what their baby is either a boy or a girl. And so it's a fun time for a new family to reveal and learn that their baby's going to be just a sweet little boy or a sweet little girl.
Sometimes, as you insinuated a moment ago, these things can get out of hand. They try to top the last one they saw on YouTube, making it bigger, brighter, louder, something like that. So sometimes they do get out of hand in terms of how they reveal the gender of the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they do. And you know, they go from like just super over the top to just simply bad taste. There's one that I refer to in the article. I have a link to the YouTube video where this hot rod muscle car, they just gun the engine and the smoke coming out from under the car is either pink or blue. And it's like, seriously, that's what you want to go with? But I'm guessing that maybe that would be somewhere in the South, and I'm from the South, so.
So am I, so we're on safe ground there.
But no, they can be quite over the top, but they can also, you know, just be very sweet and tasteful. But they are taking off like crazy. I mean, in writing this article, I did a Google search on gender reveal party suppliers, and I got like 21 million, you know, results from that. I mean, it's a big, big industry, and lots and lots and lots of people are doing it.
So, what objection did some recent writing in The Atlantic raise about gender reveal parties?
Well, that's the great question. The Atlantic did two stories on this phenomenon, and get this, one of the articles said, how many people have to die, or this was the title of it, how many people have to die before we're done with gender reveals? And so they're very concerned because people are dying, and I say that facetiously, people are dying from gender reveal parties. What the article basically comes out and says is some yahoo somewhere set off a pipe bomb and exploded it, and the either pink or blue smoke was to indicate what the child was. Now, as I say in the article, gender reveal parties don't kill people. Stupid kills people. You know, when people who would set off a pipe bomb to let some news out, they don't, you know, all of a sudden get smart at the gender reveal thing. I say these are the same people that catch the barn on fire at 4th of July, you know, with their fireworks, or these people do stupid things, and it's not the gender reveal party itself that is the problem.
And there is also in the Atlantic pieces at least a tip of the hat to what really bugs some people about gender reveal parties, and that is this outmoded distinction between boy and girl.
Well, and that's where the whole guts of the thing is like, you know what, you people at the Atlantic, you know that most 99.99.99% of gender reveal parties are just nice. Your big beef is that it celebrates pink and blue. It celebrates boy and girl. And in this article, they say exactly that. They say it's very controversial because they force the child, the unborn child, into the gender binary. And, you know, like, seriously, who are these people that are complaining about this? These are the nutty, and they just are, the nutty gender theory folks who live completely outside of reality. Those are the people that are complaining about this. And in fact, I mean, there's one quote that I have, and this was from an academic, and she's from the University of Toronto, and she published an academic article in an academic journal, and she is kind of breaking down what the gender reveal party is. And she says this. This is her warning. This is her concern. She says this, and I quote, "Once the pregnant woman eats the cake, the food coloring signifying sex reaches the fetus through the umbilical cord. Does the future mother somehow share her piece of cake and her knowledge of her fetus, thus instilling or reinforcing a gender identity to the unborn?" That is why this concerns people, and it is just simply nutty. It's nutty.
So I just want to explore what she says there. Somehow, this is like Schrodinger's cat in her way of thinking, that the color of the food coloring in the cake, pink or blue, communicates to the fetus some sort of gender bias already, not allowing that fetus to later self-identify as whatever that fetus will later self-identify as.
Well, no, to be fair to her, she is wondering if that might be the case. She's not saying that's the case. She's wondering if it could be the case. And she's wondering that seriously, yes, the food coloring physically enters the physiology of the child and changes them. But it's also the mother. She gets in her mind, okay, now this is a girl that I have, and somehow the mother mind melds to the child that, okay, you have a vagina, but you may actually be a boy, because as we know, this can happen today. But her mind, her gender binary thinking actually forces the girl who is really a boy to think, no, she's actually a girl. If you could follow that line of thinking, I mean, that's just how goofy all of this gets. And a serious publication, or at least once serious publication, like The Atlantic, is bringing all this to our attention.
Glenn Stanton is our guest. We're talking about some columns in The Atlantic about gender reveal parties. He's director of Family Formation Studies. We're focused on the family. Why do people on the left find the basic binary male and female so disturbing?
The facts are hard to spin. Planned Parenthood's name and reputation are intertwined with abortion because it is the nation's largest abortion provider and promoter.
Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, speaking at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Despite cries that the group is under this huge funding attack and what are they going to do if all this money, tax money, is not available, and yet they brought in $1.6 billion. People associate Planned Parenthood with abortion because that's what it does. We can call it anything, but it's cold-blooded killing, the murder of unborn children. And calling it health care does not change that.
You can listen to Carol Tobias' presentation, Making the Case Against Planned Parenthood, on a recording from this year's Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300. Order today at issuesetc.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a couple articles in The Atlantic on gender reveal parties. Glenn Stanton is our guest from Focus on the Family. Glenn, why is the left so disturbed by this age-old distinction between male and female?
Well, your question just boggles the mind. Yes, this idea that when the child comes out of the womb, that their genitalia is a pretty doggone good, reliable indicator of what that child is. But in the last fraction of a millisecond of human history, we have these gender theorists who say, of course we know that gender is a spectrum, and on one extreme side we have the blue boys, and the other extreme side we have the pink girls, and most of us live somewhere in between that spectrum. Well, that's ridiculous, but this is what they believe, and they're getting many elites, policymakers, educators, even medical doctors to agree that, oh yes, well of course there are many, many more genders than just male or female. And these people are getting a foothold in society today, and increasingly they are the truth determiners rather than the common sense, no, everybody is either a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, and there is no third option.
Are they just pounding their head against the brick wall of science, since what these parents are either wittingly or unwittingly saying is, you know, we know that there are only two options here. The baby is either the boy or the girl, and we're anxious to find out, and we're anxious to know, so much so that we would have a whole party about this and put it on YouTube.
Well, I mean, and that's exactly right. And that's why, and I write in the article, is we need more gender reveal parties, because every gender reveal party is a kind of speaking truth to power, if you will, a shaking their fist at this gender non-binary philosophy that there are 30 different genders, 60 different genders. It's, you know what? No, there are two. And while every boy is not going to be the rough and tough tumble blue boy, or every girl is going to be the frilly soft pink girl, everybody is either a boy or a girl. There are no third options there. And yes, they are banging their head against reality and actually trying desperately and reassuring themselves at every moment that unreality is reality. They're creating a new reality. I mean, just simply ask people this. Have you ever met an individual who is neither male or female? That person doesn't exist. You have never met them. Everybody is some variation of maleness and femaleness. That is not just science, but it's just plain reality.
And it must be additionally frustrating to know that the test to determine the gender of this unborn child is time-tested and true and has never brought up, except in extremely rare cases of genuinely intersex, has never brought up a reading other than boy or girl.
And that's exactly right. And I mean, these are the people of science. These are medical people. And I mean, you bring up intersex, and I talk about this in the article. The Intersex Society of North America, the leading organization in the world that helps medical individuals and parents navigate the intersexness, if you will, of their children. They say intersex is not a third gender. It is just simply a malformation of a boy or a girl's physical body. Again, so this the gender theory as we see it demonstrated today and at its basic core is not just faulty, it is anti-science. It is anti-reality. And we need to know that, and we need to proclaim that as individuals that are having this just shoved down our throat and down the throat of our children.
Can this illogical insanity of gender fluidity, non-binary views of gender, can it stand the test of time? Not just the test of science, but can it last?
You know what? It's interesting, Todd, because I was talking to a colleague about this yesterday, and I equated it to what the gender theorists are trying to do is push a beach ball under the water of reality. In order to keep it there, you have got to keep the pressure on it. Eventually and inevitably, it will find its way to the top. There is a natural law. And these people contradict themselves at every turn, because when you are telling a lie, you are going to contradict yourself. One funny illustration of this, and I have it in a talk that I give, is you can go online and you can buy T-shirts that say there are more than two genders. Now, when you're ordering this, there's a little pull-down menu of size, okay, and there's a couple of options there. When you're picking the shirt, there's options for gender. There are two options, male or female, to buy a shirt that says there are more than two genders. Again, these people, when they're not paying attention to what they're doing, refute themselves left and right.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled The Atlantic, Gender Reveal Parties Kill People. Yes, kill people. You can read it for yourself under the Talk on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, thank you.
Hey, sure, Todd. I always enjoy it.
In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., it's our series on the Lutheran Confessions. We're in the Augsburg Confession. We'll be talking about the Mass and Confession of Sin. Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.